Look with me, please, Ephesians chapter 3. And we will begin our reading this morning in verse 1 and read through verse 13. And we'll be in this portion of this third chapter this morning. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do thank you for, again, the opportunity you provided us this day. Together as we do, we thank you for the grace that is ours in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this provision that you've made for us in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we can gather as a body together this day to edify one another, to encourage, exhort one another in the truth of your word. And I do pray, Father, for all those who will stand and proclaim the truth of your word today, wherever they may be within this community and around this country, around the world, those who have already declared, those who will declare the truth of Jesus Christ as he is revealed, we pray that you might use the truth of the word of God in every heart of those who will hear and those who listen. We pray this morning that as we study this passage, Father, again, may we be reminded that of your eternal purpose that you have purposed in your Son, Jesus Christ, and may we rejoice in this truth that you've revealed this purpose to us through the gospel. And to we who are undeserving is this grace given. Lord, else it would not be grace. And so may we acknowledge that this is grace. It is undeserved, unmerited, and yet we've received the favor of you, who is the only holy God. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. As I pointed out last week, there are three major divisions within Ephesians chapter 3, and we began our study of chapter 3 on last week, and if you weren't here, this will help to review a little bit and bring you up to speed, if you will, somewhat at least. And as I pointed out last week, these three divisions, we began studying the first of these three divisions on last week, which consists of verses 1 through 13, in which Paul expresses his role or his part as God's messenger to the Gentiles to declare this mystery. And, of course, that mystery is the gospel of Jesus being delivered unto the Gentiles. That is the mystery. Then the second division consists of verses 14 through 19, in which Paul expresses his desire in regard to this mystery as God's messenger to the Gentiles. So he expresses this desire and what he desired and prayed would come out of this revelation of this mystery to the Gentiles. And then the third division consists of verses 20 and 21, just these last two verses, in which Paul provides or gives glory as God's messenger, the messenger of God to the Gentiles, the one appointed by God to the Gentiles. So we began last week looking at Paul's ministry to the Gentiles, again, verses 1 through 13, and we've read that this morning. And Paul begins this portion of his letter with an explanation as to the reason that he has declared this mystery to the Gentiles. We saw that Paul explained the basis for this ministry to the Gentiles in verse 1. In this statement of Paul, he says, for this cause. And this is in reference to the truth that Paul had declared in both chapters 1 and 2. So when Paul stated, for this cause, he is stating it's for this reason, based upon our position in Jesus Christ, based upon the fact that we were destitute, we were hopeless and helpless, but God and hath quickened us. He has raised us up, made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. He has included us in his purpose, in his plan. And now he says, for this cause, all of those reasons and those which he will explain in this chapter, it's for this reason that he is embracing, if you will, this ministry of the apostle to the Gentiles, the one who will declare the gospel, this mystery that's been hidden since the time of creation, been hidden to men, and now has been revealed in Jesus Christ. And now this mystery is that God is going to redeem a Gentile people unto Himself. And so Paul is embracing this ministry for this cause. We also looked last week in verses 2 through 7 at Paul's motivation for this ministry to the Gentiles. Paul was motivated first by the stewardship God had given him. If you look at verse 2, he says, if ye heard of the dispensation, and the word dispensation here literally means out of stewardship. So he's saying, if you'd heard of the stewardship of the grace of God which is given me to you work. So Paul is saying that God has made him a steward of this grace, and this is the reason, for this cause. All the truth previously spoken, and for this reason, God has made me a steward of His grace. He says, for this reason I am a messenger to the Gentiles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then second, Paul was motivated by the revelation God had given him, verses 3 through 6, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So Paul had already spoken of this in the previous chapters, briefly, concerning the mystery, which is the gospel unto the Gentiles. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, this is the reason, or this is the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Here's the mystery. The mystery is not the gospel alone. The mystery is the gospel unto the Gentiles, and that God was going to make a church out of the Gentiles, a body out of the Gentiles, which are now one with every Old Testament believer by faith. We are one in Christ. It is Christ who has redeemed us, as we have seen clearly in Romans 3 and Hebrews 9 and 10. It is Christ, and even 11. It is Christ who has redeemed us. It is Christ in whom this redemption is complete and fulfilled, not only for the New Testament believer, but also the Old Testament believer. And so we are one body in Christ, and that's what Paul is saying here. The very truths of God, which have been kept secret since the creation of the world, had been revealed by God to Paul and to the prophets and apostles, not Paul alone, but to Paul and the other apostles and prophets. And Paul had personally received this revelation by God, as you read in Galatians when Paul says he went to Arabia, and that this truth of the gospel of faith alone in Christ alone, by grace alone, that this truth of the gospel was revealed to him by God Himself, by Jesus Himself, not by the other disciples or apostles in Jerusalem, but God had taught Paul Himself this truth. So Paul had been, God had revealed to Paul the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that he was to go to the Gentiles with this gospel. And that's what Paul is stating. Third, Paul was motivated by the grace which God had given him. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of God, of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. So Paul says, I was made a minister according. We're going to look at verse 7 a little more this morning as well as we continue in verse 8. But he says, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. So Paul was motivated by the grace that God had given him. The basis for Paul's ministry, we saw, is of course that he had already revealed the basis for this ministry to the Gentiles of the gospel in chapters 1 and 2. This is the basis, this is the reason for this cause. But now he continues and says there's a motivation to this ministry of the gospel to the Gentiles as well. And that motivation, of course, is that God had given him stewardship of the gospel, of this grace in the gospel, that he got to reveal personally to Paul the truth of this mystery and Jesus Christ Himself. And then Paul was motivated by the grace that God had given him in the sense that he says, I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. So this was the grace given to him. And so this motivated Paul. And I said to you last week that if anyone should be motivated concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ as messengers and ministers of the gospel, it should be us. And the reason why is because we have been given the stewardship, just as Paul. God has personally revealed Christ to us, just as Paul. And also, we know that God has given us grace, and we recognize it to be just that grace. And Paul recognized the grace of God for what it was, which is the unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor of God. So this grace which Paul had received now overflowed from his life to others. So should we not be just as motivated as Paul concerning the gospel? And of course we should. But it should be for this cause, for these reasons. It's not because we should not have some desire, as many seem to, that they want to proclaim the so-called gospel for the purpose of earning some reward. Heaven, for the purpose of gaining some status among men. No, listen, it's for this cause. I've been given stewardship of the gospel.
I've been given the grace of God. Christ has been revealed to me. The mystery that was hidden from the ages, God has personally revealed through the working of His Spirit, through the preaching of His Word, the truth of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why would we not be motivated concerning the gospel? So this morning we continue our study within this first division of Ephesians chapter 3, which we probably will not complete this morning. And within this portion of the text, Paul explains his boldness in the ministry to the Gentiles. So he's already given the basis for his ministry to the Gentiles. For this cause, everything previously stated, the position we have as Gentiles even received in Jesus Christ, the fact that God took us, who were not a people, made us His people, and now because the stewardship of the gospel given to us, the grace given to us, the revelation of Jesus Christ, so we are motivated by these truths. But then Paul says there's a boldness also associated in his ministry to the gospel. So Paul's boldness in the ministry to the Gentiles is explained in these verses. So Paul has received or has explained to us already through this text the basis and the motivation, and many reasons for that. But yet now we see he explains the reason that he has a boldness concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. So Paul's boldness in his ministry to the Gentiles, verses 8 through 13, let's read them again. Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Last week, in conclusion to our study, I briefly mentioned to you the basis for Paul's boldness in his ministry to the Gentiles, and we saw this just in a quick overview of these verses. First, Paul's boldness was despite his personal weakness in verse 8. We just read that. Second, Paul's boldness was founded upon God's wisdom and the desire for God's wisdom to be made known among men. And third, Paul's boldness was a result of faith in God's eternal purposes, the faith of Christ and knowing that God is going to fulfill His eternal purposes in Christ. So this morning, we're going to spend our time unpacking these truths, beginning to at least, in verses 8 through 13. So first, let's begin with Paul's boldness, as we stated, is despite his own personal weakness. Notice verse 8 with me again. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints." Now let's just stop there for a moment. Because here you have the Apostle Paul. Now, if you were to ask anyone today who is proclaiming the Word of God concerning the most useful instrument of all men, not Christ Himself, the Messiah, but I'm talking about Jesus, the Messiah, but I'm talking about men, naturally born, sinful men. The most useful instrument concerning the New Testament church, I don't think anyone would argue would be the Apostle Paul. That God used Paul as the Apostle to the Gentiles. Paul used Paul to write the church epistles by large. And we see that it is Paul who has written these things for us, to us, as Gentile believers, as the New Testament church. So God used Paul in a tremendous manner. And yet here Paul states, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now this verse demands, I believe, that we look back to the previous verse, verse 7, as I mentioned we would a moment ago. If we are to truly capture the truth which Paul communicates in the first portion of this verse. So let's read verses 7 and 8 together. "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power." This is a powerful statement Paul makes in verse 7. But then he continues, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." As we read these two verses together, it is necessary to recognize that within both verses, verses 7 and 8, Paul refers to the grace of God as a gift which God has given unto him. The grace is specifically, which Paul mentions here, is specifically referring to the ministry of the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what Paul's talking about here. This grace that God has appointed him to go to the Gentiles, this is a stewardship of this grace that God has given him. However, we must also recognize that the underlying truth of all that Paul is saying is that God has called Paul as an apostle to the Gentiles, and in doing so, the Lord had divinely intervened and interrupted Paul's life, in that he, God, the Lord, might redeem and sanctify Paul as his minister to the Gentiles. So let us not forget where this began. It's not simply that Paul is a minister to the Gentiles, it's that Paul was on his way to persecute the church as he had done and continued to do, and God divinely stepped in and interrupted and intervened in the midst of Paul's chaos and his wickedness, which Paul claimed he was doing for God, a service for God in destroying the church of the Lord Jesus. And God divinely intervened and interrupted Paul's life, did he not? And so this grace that is given to Paul did not begin just with go preach to the Gentiles. It first began with Paul's life, heart, mind being absolutely transformed and changed by God. And so this grace extends beyond just the stewardship of the gospel. It begins with him being brought to, by faith to the gospel, to belief of the gospel of Jesus. Because remember something. The Gentiles had not been given the grace of God prior to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was Paul primarily God used, not alone, but primarily, to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So the Gentiles were not, they were ostracized. They were not part of the family of God. Remember in chapter 2, we saw where Paul tells them, you were born into the wrong family. Basically, he says that to them. You were without hope. You were without help. Remember? And so he says, you were born into the wrong family. But it was the Jews who rejected Christ as Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. And so Paul was no better than the Gentiles prior to his conversion. He was just as hopeless and helpless. So God intervened in Paul's life. So this grace which Paul mentions goes back to Jesus confronting Paul on the road to Damascus as he's going to persecute the church. So this work of grace extended throughout Paul's life and to his appointment as the apostle of Jesus to the Gentiles. Now, our understanding of these two verses and their reference to the gift of God's grace are crucial in providing us the proper insight to the truth which Paul conveys within verses 7 and 8, and specifically in verse 8, which we are beginning with this morning. So again, we need to read a portion of verse 7 and verse 8, once again, to understand the significance of Paul's statement in relation to his boldness in the ministry of the gospel to the Gentiles. So let's read a portion of verse 7, then move into verse 8. Notice what he says. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given, verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. So what Paul is saying here is that he is the less than the least of all saints. But the reason he can make such a statement, there's two reasons basically here, but let me begin by stating this. Paul makes such a statement, he's less than the least of all saints, because he fully understood, hear me please, this is so important. He fully understood the only reason he was given stewardship of the gospel, the only reason he had been given the grace of God, the only reason that Christ had been revealed to him by God is grace. And that's it. Paul fully recognized that he did not deserve, he could not earn, he could not merit, he was not worthy that God would give him such as he had in Jesus Christ. So therefore, Paul can boldly say and clearly state that he was the less than the least of all the saints. But then I ask this question to you this morning. Who of us can state anything different? Who can say anything differently than that? Are we not less than the least of all saints? And this is not some false sense of humility that Paul is expressing here. And we'll see, look into that here in just a moment to understand that even more. So we must understand this truth, that Paul's boldness increased. His boldness in the ministry of the gospel increased and was substantiated in light of him possessing a proper view of himself as less than the least of all saints, which was a view exposed by the grace of God given to him. And in other words, Paul's view of himself, which might appear to some as a disparaging view, was in reality an enlightened view of himself contrasted by a proper view of God. I'm reminded of, again, the verse, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? If and when we possess a proper view of who God is and understand the grace that is given to us is undeserved, unmerited, that's what it is by definition. If we see God as he has declared himself to be and revealed himself to be in his word and through the person of his son, Jesus Christ, then there is no possibility that for one moment you and I can think more of ourselves than what we really are. And so what are we? Well, Paul doesn't speak in a manner of self-hatred here. He's speaking in honesty and saying, look, I am less than the least. And why did he say it? Well, one reason was he had persecuted the church, had he not? And yet God was going to take the one, look what God does. He takes the one who was persecuting the church to become the vital instrument he would use for his church. And how did that happen? Grace. So who gets the glory? God. Listen, when we have a distorted view of God, we will have a distorted view of ourselves. And that goes two ways. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. There are those who look at themselves as worthless. Why were they even ever created, if you will? Why were they ever born? The fact of the matter is, God has, in his providence, given life, and that's valuable and meaningful. But on a spiritual, physically, we have value. Physically, there's value to life, is there not? Physically, there's worth to life, is there not? But spiritually, we are dead and hopeless and helpless. So while we would view ourselves understanding that we value life, the fact of the matter is, spiritually, we are void of life. So there are those, though, within the religious world specifically, who would claim or think of themselves being more than they are. And the reason why that is true is because they have a distorted view of God. A distorted view of God will provide a distorted view of yourself. I just heard this morning something to give you an example of this, and I thought, how in the world can you make such a statement like that? There was a song playing on the radio. I just happened to have it on the station. I was listening. I really wasn't listening, but I heard it. And I heard the guy say afterwards that how much he loved that song because it just reminds him how God's proud of him. I'm going, how is God proud of you? What does that even mean? Here's what I'm saying to you. God is not proud of us. See, that's a distorted view of yourself if you think God is proud of you. God is pleased in his son. And if we are in him, then we know that he is satisfied in his son. Therefore, we are made accepted in his son. But he's not proud of us. That's a distorted view of ourselves. Why? Because it's a distorted view of God. So if we understand who God is and who he's declared himself to be, then we understand that we are nothing and he is everything. In verse 7, Paul declared, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given. This statement is followed by Paul's declaration in verse 8, unto me, whom less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. So I've emphasized this truth. The reason I've spent this time speaking on this truth, explaining this to you, is to help further explain that Paul's boldness did not come out of a false sense of humility or self-hatred, but rather a correct and proper view of God and of grace. And it was Paul's recognition that his salvation and ministry was all a gift of grace, which is undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor of God. And for that reason, Paul then saw the reality that he was less deserving than the least of all other saints. So what Paul is actually saying here, see, this isn't self-hatred. It's not some false sense of humility in which Paul speaks. Paul is literally stating here, I am the least deserving of grace of all people. See, that gives us a little better perspective, doesn't it? Because, again, we would view Paul and say, well, Paul was greatly used of God. And why would Paul say he's the less than the least of all saints? Because Paul was saying, I am least deserving of God's grace. And again, I ask you, which of us could possibly state anything differently? Who could stand up this morning and say, well, I deserve grace more than they? And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. He's saying the opposite of that. I don't deserve God's grace, and if anyone does not deserve it at all, it's me. That's where each of us all are in reality, or should be, because that's the truth of where we are. Paul's exalted view of God, who deserves to be viewed as the only exalted creator and Lord of all eternity, forced Paul to see himself from a proper perspective of a man who did not deserve this gift of the grace of God which had been given to him. You and I, just as Paul, are no more deserving of this salvation. Neither are we any more deserving than Paul to have been given stewardship of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that God has given us such an awesome privilege and responsibility as the ambassadors of Jesus Christ should produce an unrivaled boldness in the gospel. The question might be asked, how could Paul, and greater still, how can we possess boldness in such a responsibility if we are less than the least of all saints and less deserving than the least of all saints? And Paul provides this answer in verse 7. Paul explained that this gift of grace was given by God to Paul, who was less than the least of all saints, and this means that Paul understood that he understood his own insufficiency, which drove him to depend upon the sufficiency and faithfulness of God by his power, God's power, to perform in and through Paul, that his purpose, God's purpose, might be fulfilled. So verse 7 again we read, whereof I was made minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. Notice the next statement. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. How was it given? By the effectual working of his power. When Paul recognizes, as he states, that he is the less than the least of all saints, I am the least deserving of all saints of this grace which has been given to me. Paul is stating that. I don't deserve this. Then Paul obviously had to understand and recognize he was insufficient. He was lacking power. He was not the one able to act and perform of his own strength and ability. And he then stated, it is by the effectual working of his power. So Paul's boldness was not only despite his weakness, but Paul's boldness became a reality because of his weakness. Because he understood, I am weak, I am not deserving, therefore I am not capable of completing and being faithful to the task or the stewardship that has been given to me. But how is this given to me? By grace, by the effectual working of his power. So when I recognize my weakness, when I understand my weakness, then the strength of God, the strength of Christ is being perfected in me. In other words, it is Christ and his grace. It is his power that enables. Let me say it to you like this, okay? Let's put this all together. Put the pieces together now. Paul's basis for the ministry to the gospel, for this cause, because of the position God has given Gentiles in Jesus Christ and Jew alike, because they're one, not separated, and because of what God had done personally, in the sense that God had redeemed these Gentiles. They once were destitute, once were not a people, are now made the people of God. And Paul says, because, and then he had a motivation, of course, the motivation of this ministry to the gospel, to Gentiles, the ministry of the gospel to the Gentiles, was in Paul stating that he had been given stewardship by this grace. He was given grace itself, and Christ was revealed personally to him. So here Paul has a basis. Yeah, there's a reason for me to declare the gospel. And then Paul says, I am motivated to declare the gospel. But notice here, the boldness to declare the gospel is not rooted in Paul's knowledge or his strength. It's founded upon the truth that he is insufficient and weak, therefore he's empowered by God to complete that which God has purposed to be performed in his life. Do you understand what that's saying? Let me say it to you like this. This is God's work. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is God who calls, it is God who saves, it is God who empowers. We must recognize our insufficiency. We are less than the least of all saints. We are the least deserving of all saints of grace, every one of us. And not say, well, all of us are less than the least deserving of all saints, then we're kind of all in the same boat. Exactly! None of us deserve grace. That's the point. The least, less than the least of all saints. And we must recognize our insufficiency that we might submit to His power and the sufficiency of His grace which has been given to us. This statement of Paul concerning the effectual power of God points us back to the previous truth Paul established in chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship. It's His work. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So from verse 8 we discover that Paul's boldness in the ministry of the gospel was despite his weakness, and it was rooted, this boldness was rooted in the grace and the power of God. Paul then explained that this was all for the purpose of what? That he might preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. The adjective unsearchable here means impossible to understand. And the noun riches means wealth and abundance of wealth. So the depth of the abundant wealth which is found only in Jesus Christ is impossible for us to ever fully understand. And yet this is the gospel Paul has been given. This is the stewardship of this grace. As God's people, we are called by His grace to be ministers of the abundant wealth in Jesus Christ, which is beyond human understanding. Our boldness as Paul's does not come from our ability to fully comprehend the riches of Jesus Christ. I think this is misunderstood. Now, there's something, a warning I must give as well that you must heed. There is no excuse for us to be ignorant of the truth of Scriptures. Of the Scriptures. There's none. We are called to be diligent in the Word that we might have an understanding, that we might grow in faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But hear me. Our boldness does not originate from what we know. Our boldness should always originate in who we know, the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether you may know more or you may know less, that in no manner should impact your understanding of the basis for the ministry to which you've been given stewardship, nor should it affect or impact the motivation you have to declare the truth of the gospel. What it should do is motivate you to know more of Christ, that you may be more rooted and grounded to declare the gospel. But the point being this, we do not become bold because we reach some level of knowledge. We do not become bold because we have been given some gift of communication. We do not become bold because we grasp some truth that someone else does not. We are emboldened. Look, you can have a basis for proclaiming the gospel. You can have motivation for proclaiming the gospel. But hear me, you better make sure you're empowered by Christ in proclaiming the gospel. And Paul is explaining that here. It's by the effectual working of His power. Oh, there's a basis, and there is for all of us, is there not? And there should be motivation. It should be proper motivation for this cause. But also, there's an empowering for those whom God has given stewardship of the gospel to. Not just preachers either, meaning like pastors, but to every believer who's to proclaim, preach the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we are empowered by God who has called us to this work, given us this stewardship. We are His workmanship. Our boldness is established in the truth that we can never, rather than our boldness being established in the truth of what we know, our boldness is established in the truth that we can never fully comprehend, nor can we ever exhaust the abundance and depth of the wealth and riches provided in our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I understand. I can explain the truth of the gospel my entire life, and the riches and depths of the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ to us by God the Father, I can spend my entire life expounding upon these truths and the depths of these truths. I don't mean parroting something, digging into God's Word, declaring the truth of God's Word, and I am absolutely confident of this one thing, I will never exhaust the depth of the riches that are in Jesus Christ. That gives us boldness. Look, the mercies of God and His compassions are new every morning. And the Word of God is truly alive. It is. Not that it's changing, but that it's constantly changing us by the power of the Spirit of God who dwells within us. And so we have a boldness not because of our strength. We have boldness because we understand our weakness. We have boldness not because we have a grasp on some truth others don't. No, we have a boldness because God has revealed Christ unto us, and we understand that this is a lifelong process of Christ being revealed to us. And we can never exhaust the depths of the riches of Jesus Christ. Let me conclude by saying this. Jesus exceeds both our expectations and our understanding. However, this is not a truth that hinders us, but rather a truth that provides us boldness in the gospel. What do you mean by that? Well, here's what I know. No matter what you've heard, no matter how much teaching you've been under, and myself included in this, no matter how much study you do, we can never discover all there is to know about our Lord. Can we? Hence, we have boldness in the truth of the gospel, knowing that no matter who we are proclaiming the truth to, no matter who will hear, who will listen, the reality remains the same, that they don't know everything, we don't know everything, and that God is constantly revealing Christ to us continually. So how could we not be motivated again in the gospel? We've been given a tremendous stewardship, as was Paul. We have a basis for the gospel ministry, don't we? For this cause. We have motivation for the gospel ministry. We should. Just as Paul did. But we must understand, we are not capable of fulfilling God's purposes, even in proclaiming the gospel, apart from being empowered by Him to do so. So that means this. It means we simply understand our weakness, that His strength might be perfected in us. We understand our insufficiency, which will then drive us to His sufficiency. And this was Paul's origin for his boldness. That is, he was empowered by God, the effectual working of His power, proclaim the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ.